Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Vic Slayton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting.
Of Edinburgh, please welcome to the stage your host, Vic Slayton.
Oh, hey everyone, how are we doing? That's not good enough. I know it's Sunday night, but we can be better, can't we? How are we doing? Amazing. Now, I'm going to caveat this with, my eye got caught by that brilliant Tati Divine necklace. That is where my attention span is tonight. Right, who here has heard of Comedy Arcade before this evening? Yeah. That is so much more than any other night that I've had so far. It's getting quite embarrassing. I was going to stop asking, but I'm glad I did it one more time. Right, for the people, because you've all listened, I know some of you might have had a terrible accident. You fell overboard on a boat. You've knocked your head. You need to understand the rules again. To help me explain the rules, I'm bringing out the Alan Davis to my Sandy Toksvig. It is Rich Wilson, everyone.
Oh, hello, everybody. You well? Good? Yeah. Look at you fucking cool dudes over there. Have some fun, don't you worry about that. Hello, everybody.
What kind of fun?
I don't know yet. I found Poppers backstage.
He literally did. This is a true story. He opened the file and he went, "Are these Poppers?"
Turns out, yes.
Yesterday he had two tequilas and fucked up the wham wrap. So let's see what we're going to have tonight. Yes. Right. Was anyone here for that? Oh, it's remarkable. Return.
Yeah, they were. Only my friends. Oh, God.
It's all over the internet. So, how this works, I've got a bingo ball full of topics. I'm going to draw them at random. Some of you near the front will see that I've predetermined them. That is because I can't be trusted with this ball. I'm going to roll the balls as though that's happening, and then in the post-edit...
You're showing them behind the curtain. Yeah.
They can see behind the curtain. Ruining the magic. It's right here. Everyone will jump in with an anecdote, a story, interpretive dance, or... A famous whap from Wham.
Whap. Yeah. Nah, you fucked it up.
I will score them based on what I like the best. I will sort of be led by you, so you can kind of influence the game, but you can actually influence the game because Edinburgh rules. I've got three paddles here. Woo! The people that have come before, they know what these mean. Oh. These are trick cards that you can play to influence the game. So, who would like to participate in a mostly silent manner tonight? It's not... I'm going to caveat that up front. I don't want you to be frightened.
Yes.
Rich, who do you want to pick? There's some hands over here.
Oh, right. So, I think... We'll
go right. Okay. You can distribute the paddles. It's like giving a child something to do when you're baking a cake. It's like, you're very important, Rich. You put those sprinkles on, we couldn't do it without you.
Wonderful. Round of applause.
Paddle people! Yeah. Right, red paddle, that is my favourite. What is your name?
Jen.
Your name's New Balls now, Jen.
Thank you.
New
New balls. Now, what happens is, if you're not enjoying the story that you're hearing, or you don't like the contestant, you don't want them to get any points, at any point in the game, you can use it only once, so use it with care. New balls it, we move on. They don't get to finish their story. They don't get to finish their sentence. We move straight on to the next category.
You'll know when you need to raise that, let me tell you.
It should have happened much sooner yesterday.
Oh, it went on, didn't it?
Oh, it went on. Oh, you just kept talking about Coldplay with no end.
I just said.
No more! Green paddle. You've got the fun one. That is Fruit Machine. At any point in the game, you can play it only once. You can play Fruit Machine, and we scramble all the scores. So someone could have been master raconteur all night long, carry the game, and Rich could still win.
Yes! Hallelujah.
What's your name, Fruit Machine?
AJ.
AJ, it's Fruit Machine now. Okay.
Fruit Machine, that's quite the nickname, isn't it? That.
And our beauty in green. You've got the good one. You've got the one that everybody wants. You can double the points of your favourite story. So, or just the one that you like or fancy the most. It's up to you. That's how I play the game. So, without further ado, let us welcome our panellists. Now, I'm delighted to have her back. She was one of my favourite players in the early days, which you'll all know because you've been listening since the first episode. It is the magnificent Sarah Keyworth, everyone.
Keyworth.
Wherever you like. Then you sit in that chair. This is not a test.
Okay.
Sarah's doing late in live tonight. Do you think she'll last?
I know how comedy works.
Did you find the poppers as well?
Has everyone taken poppers? Let's find out. Yeah. Now you will have seen John Robertson has been billed, but he may be locked in the dark room. We haven't heard from him. We don't know where he is. So it could be the third and final panelist. It's Garrett Billerick.
Two pints as well. Two pints.
Well, you were very late in telling me that you were getting me a pint, so I was at the bar and I'd already bought one by the time you said, "No, mate, I'll sort it out for you."
Is that how I sound?
That's a nice version of how you sound. Yeah. But like, that's I'm making you sound like that out here, but you've made me look like a drunk.
You didn't have to bring them both on stage, just saying. That was your choice.
It's going to be a long night. It's going to be a long night.
Sure that's a new thing. We've already burnt like 10 minutes going through the rules of the game. So
is it a game?
Well, we'll see, will we?
Okay, good.
It's a fever dream I've had where I invite much more popular and famous comedians than me onto a show and ask them questions and pretend they're my friends.
Yay, don't be so hard on yourself.
Inside voice, that should have been
nice.
Right, well, you'll be here or we won't.
We'll find out, won't we?
Let's find out together.
He's in the dark room.
Is that how he sounds to you?
Yeah.
Sounded very much like me.
What's going on?
You've played before!
Have I?
Oh, look, well, whatever, sir, it's still going to be nicer than late in life.
Right.
Low blow.
Right, let's start with a thing that you believed that wasn't true, which seems to be late in life is good.
I've never believed that to be funny.
Right.
A thing you believed to be true.
That wasn't.
That wasn't.
Something that mugged you off edge. Not that you're a gullible man, but I think you've got a few of these.
So gullible, I believe everything.
I know.
Someone told me that women taste like vinegar when I was a kid.
What?
There was a kid at school called Richard Clay. He had an older brother, and I remember we just sat playing Star Wars figures, and his older brother just came and sat down, and he goes, "No women, they taste like vinegar." And I went, "Did they?" And then that was it in my head forever.
What age were you when you found out that wasn't true?
He's still waiting.
How old am I? I was 49.
Yeah. No, Rich looks like he's 45, but actually he's 51. We should probably...
What kind of vinegar?
Oh, well, now.
Well, Rich is middle class now, he keeps telling us. So you know the different vinegars, don't you?
He's all going, I'm a working class man, but I own 75 pairs of shoes.
That is actually very working class thing to do.
My vinyl collection just goes all the way down the street. I'm so working class.
First time I went to his flat, you have to go upstairs and go to his flat. Every single stair had two pairs of shoes. And I was like, whose shoes are these? And I was like, no, mine. I was like, all right, we'll turn down the old mile man to dustman routine.
I'm like the original human centipede without the arse bit.
Are we talking like malt?
That's rice wine vinegar, it's got to be.
Balsamic?
Balsamic! I have balsamic cider with every meal. A bit of oil. Oh, lovely.
What's your favourite vinegar?
My favourite vinegar? White wine. That's not true.
White wine vinegar.
I just tried to think of one that I hadn't already said, and that was white wine.
Isn't it apple vinegar? Apple
cider vinegar.
Cider is supposed to be good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been drinking that in
a cap of it in pints every morning because I watched a YouTube video saying it's fucking great. I still got gout.
I wonder why.
That's why you've got gout. Yeah.
Is that the thing you believed that wasn't true? You do believe YouTube videos?
Oh, I live my life by YouTube videos.
I saw a tweet the other day that ruined everything.
Stay off Twitter.
And somebody said that they just realised that, you remember that shampoo that No More Tears?
Yeah.
Yep.
The reason it's called No More Tears is because it's supposed to help with the tangles in your hair.
Oh.
Not supposed to be that it won't sting your eyes.
No!
Yeah.
I didn't know that now.
No, that's the thing. I learned that for the first time. And you've got it in your eyes and you're thinking, this is a fucking scam.
Yeah, genuinely. You're actively putting your eyes.
On the bottom of a bottle. No, we didn't mean that.
Yeah.
We didn't mean that.
You're going, no more tears. Fucking brilliant.
Begging my mum to buy it because it stings so much when you get here. Get that one because it doesn't hurt your eyes. And then you're sat there going, I've been fucking lied to now.
Why is your mum pushing shampoo into your eyes?
She's a horrible woman.
That's what it was like in the 70s growing up working class.
Yeah. Only 85 pairs of shoes and your mum ran.
At any point, a grown-up just punch you in the ear and just go, no, your mum, and fuck off.
Quick footnote, we do lie to Rich and tell him we're all the same age.
New player unlocked.
Hello, Sarah Keyworth. Please continue your very entertaining story.
No, I've not played this before.
None of us have played this version before.
I will play with all of you.
Fucking rollerball.
What a fantastic manifestation of the patriarchy. Brian in here with fucking music and an outfit and being like, all right, Sarah, continue your story that I interrupted. Were you saying something?
Mate, I'm not going to take that from someone who looks like he fucking pays Joe Rogan subscription fees.
Joe gives me the subscription for free, actually. So.
Show.
It seems to have turned in that direction.
I've lost control of this situation.
So anyway, back to vinegar.
Before you were here, we were literally talking about vinegar.
Oh, I see. What happened was, see, Rich, I had to tell you this. The crowd was laughing, so I presume Sarah was talking, but it turns out it was you.
John, it actually was Sarah.
Well done. Shut the fuck up, Richard. Okay, back to you.
I like white wine vinegar. That's what I'm saying.
You can see him as well, can't you? This is not a manifestation in my fucking head. Because you know how people that are mentally ill, they never imagine someone that's like their friend, do they? You never see someone running down the street chatting away, going, where should we go? To the shops? Lovely. He's always like, you fuck off. Nah, you fuck off. And I just like, this is what my imaginary friend would look. This is like, this is my Tyler Durden.
Richard, the audience became very aware that you took your hand and put it on what is quite clearly some very sharp spikes. please don't try to style out your now stigmata that you have.
But because I'm such a dude, I did fucking style it out. even though that hurt like a cunt.
Didn't even have to wait in a cave for 3 days.
Oh,
like,
my
just gone.
God, that really went through.
Was it Christians? Hey.
So it really does sting your eyes.
It's very rare you see a callback to a story in progress.
We're talking about things that you once believed were true, but were absolute bollocks.
Okay, I once believed I'd make it to the show on time.
As did I.
No, none of us thought he was getting on time. Fuck that shit.
I'm not going to lie, Garrett and Richard, are you pretty much just the same dude? Is that the go?
This is what happens if you care more about clothes and are 10 years older. So I'm...
No, we photocopied Garrett in a black and white photocopy. But it wasn't a very good one. It's a low DPI.
we're like the Lidl and Aldi version of each other.
We finally found a way to become racist against straight white men. This is amazing.
Finally!
Yay!
That's what the game was made for.
Yes!
John, I wore this T-shirt this evening because I told Rich about 12 months ago that I bought all of my clothes in Sainsbury's, and he looked at me and went, "That makes me angry." So I was like,
"Well, I
was like, thinking, not, no, it's not fair. Not all, you're not all white men look the same." Then I turned my head and saw this guy.
And I was like, okay, "And that guy, look, maybe and that guy, and that guy."
Maybe
let's,
they're
let's
onto
be fair.
Here.
This is a fucking sea of beige over here.
You couldn't ever thought about being more diverse as an audience?
Or at least more plentiful. What the fuck's wrong with it?
It's like two dudes that are not this.
I'm not going to lie, it's like opening up a fucking tub of mascarpone, you know? Like,
be more diverse, you prick.
No, I named a middle-class cheese for them, and fuck, they went for it. I was right. You bougie scum, look at you.
Anyway.
Right, so we've covered all that. I think we've robustly covered things you believe that weren't true.
No, I think so.
I believed that I was getting control of this show. And
no paddles. I've seen no paddles thus far. So I was like, what
the
fuck?
Two were playing within like 5 minutes.
Just
after. Fuck, we were in trouble.
We moved on from the first one. That was literally the only one I prepared for.
And that,
you
prepared for that, and that's what you brought.
No, I didn't bring it. I didn't bring anything. I was just bantering.
Have you got a story for me?
Oh, well, things you believe that weren't true. Yeah, I do. My best friend Sam lived in Poland for 7 years, and he came back to the UK, and he was going up from to Manchester from London, and he told me that there was no speed limit on the M6 toll because if you pay for it, they can't make you stick to a speed limit. And I was like, that very isn't true. And he was like, it absolutely is true. I've been up and down to Manchester 4 times in the last couple of days. And I was like, mate, it's not true. And he was like, it fucking is. And he called me up a week later and was like, I've got like 6 speeding fines on this thing. Yeah, we should have stuck with a banter. You're absolutely right.
I told my sons that the rumble strips next to the sides of motorways are for blind people. so they didn't crash into the barriers.
I was told this show was good.
Fuck you, you fucking sex toy. Come on!
Lives and dies on the quality of the panel, that's all I'm saying.
Done it again. I caught my arm on it. Fuck me, that's Jesus.
Yeah, I don't want people to touch me. I'm literally wearing spikes. What the fuck's wrong with you? On the knee?
Yeah, spikeless. Is that a rock thing?
I'm not going to lie, unless you're a hedgehog or an echidna, this man will fucking stroke you. Do you
understand? Fuck yeah! I'm all about a touching.
But you asked for consent first.
Yes! As a straight white man, I should not have said that.
No one should have fucking said that.
I should not have said that. I would like to retract that from the world.
The category is embarrassing injuries.
Richard, flashback to 15 seconds ago.
Yeah. I think that's pretty well covered. Next category.
You don't get to new balls this. That's not your control.
Oh, fucking new balls. No, I don't know.
Have you
got an embarrassing injury, John?
Yeah,
look at me. Yes, I do. There have been things inside me that aren't human. The Barbie doll. Yes.
I went like legs first because you're not weird. And they went, what? I went, he'll explain.
No, I won't.
You're not the boss of him, Rich.
Now, look, no one is. Look at me. Now, look, is an embarrassing injury. When I was a boy, I had a trampoline in the backyard. A lot of fun, the trampoline. Loved to bounce on the trampoline. Good fun. I could do one trick, which was to jump in the air and spread my legs real fucking wide. And one day I decided to, leaping off. And I went from the bouncy bit of the trampoline to the metal bit of the trampoline, balls first. A story that I thought of the second the phrase new balls was used. My mother didn't believe what had happened and was going to send me to school until I put on my shorts and my scrotum was so inflamed it was below like another leg. And we then went to a GP who did the following. Does that hurt? Well, that's no good.
Your mum didn't believe you.
She didn't believe me.
What kind of mother? You're like, mother, I've got an enlarged scrotum. And she's like, stop showing off, John.
A woman whose mother was pushing shampoo into her fucking eyeballs is like, oh, is your mother not
believing? But my mother was British.
Quite right.
That's right. Australian mothers don't abuse their children. They encourage us aggressively. No, your balls are fine. Don't be ashamed of them. Show them to everyone. Looks like the surface of Mars.
Well, she's pulling them. Like, hey, let me borrow.
If anything, they could be bigger, John. Get on the trampoline, son. I believe in you.
More.
Everyone believes in you. We can see the evidence. Yes.
That should be the television advert for the upcoming referendum on the Republican status of Australia.
Are we having one?
Grab your balls.
Apparently so, yeah. Oh, mate, of course. Oh, fuck it. We still need British people to tell us what to do, apparently. Fuck it. Well, that's the result of that fucking predicted shit. Right.
Embarrassing injuries.
Nearly lost a nipple once.
Ooh. What? Okay, we're all listening.
You want the story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did send you an email with this song.
Okay. Sorry.
She was trying to find it just backstage.
Dropped a razor blade in the shower. Caught the nipple.
Oh.
Blood everywhere. What do you say? What do you say when that happened?
You could say, why don't I shave with a safety razor rather than a cutthroat razor?
Sweeney Todd.
You realise how slippery things get in the shower at that point, don't you?
I just really admire how chatty everyone else is, and you basically just said a haiku.
It's a cautionary tale. But I still got both.
Round of applause for Sarah Keyworth, yeah. Two nipples.
The Sarah Keyworth action figure now comes with battle damage.
Garrett?
Well, embarrassing injuries. Yeah, I've got gout.
You're younger than me.
Yeah.
You're younger than I am.
I got gout during lockdown. I'm finding it quite difficult to walk at the moment.
Still laughing.
Yeah, I know. So if you see me hobbling around the cobbles of Edinburgh, yeah. I got gout. It's very, as my wife said when I got back from the GP and was like, you know, I said I thought I dropped a hammer on my foot when I was doing the DIY. And she went, yeah. I was like, I didn't. I've got gout. And she just looked at me and went, I'm very cross about that.
He's a boat trip away from getting fucking scurvy.
Yeah. But I actually
have an apple, mate.
No, scurvy is working class gout, okay? The thing about this is there will never be a gout liberation league.
No, I'm going to form one, John.
Yeah, no, but no.
Do you like to see the advert?
Well, absolutely. Hi there. Do you have too much money? Toe hurts a lot? Come to our meetings. We're the only self-help support group that serves caviar.
It's all right, John. I actually got a gout attack in my arm this morning. So until about 3 hours ago, I couldn't...
Gout attack. Sounds like a kids' TV show, doesn't it?
Welcome it's gonna be back great. To Gout Attack. Oh, can't paint today.
Hey, kids, everyone just sit down and drink Stella Artois.
Here's a foot we lost earlier.
Yeah.
And a nipple we retained.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, here's Mick showing red meat up his ass.
Yeah. So I do a joke in my show about having got gout, and then people who've seen my show have watched me limp across cobbles in Edinburgh, and they're like, "Are you fucking joking?" I'm like, So it's a very embarrassing injury now, right now, this month. I'm going, it wasn't just a joke. No, my fucking legs hurt. a lot.
Oh, man.
Don't. Oh, time. It's my own fault. Oh. Anyway, cheers, everyone.
To Gout, everybody.
He's learned nothing.
I'm a comedian. I'm impervious to wisdom.
Oh, so true. Not funny. Just sad. Right.
I also have a nipple story.
Of course you do.
I know.
No one gets an outfit like that without a nipple story.
I was wearing this outfit.
You glued yours to your eyelids, didn't you? You did something weird.
No, I've never been so lonely to want to look at myself.
Bullshit.
No. You all right?
Tell your story.
I will.
Have you guys ever paid to watch a therapy session before? What a thing we've done to you on a Sunday. Come and watch four friends.
They're just for friends.
Three friends.
Of course they have. Yeah.
You can guess which one I don't like. Garrett. Now, this is me wee story. I do a kids show, and I was at the Underbelly in London.
That's not the joke. That's a true story.
Yeah, yes, and what had happened was, well, on a trip to Australia, I'd gotten my nipples pierced as a surprise to my wife. And she was surprised. The phrase, why have you done this, was used. And what happened was, they were very painful, these things. And I was doing the show, right? You know, just doing the show for kids, jumping around, all this. And then I just took off my outfit, and it was gone!
No, wait, stop. Why did you take off your outfit?
Yeah, you can't start that with, I was doing a show for kids, and then suddenly...
And then I gave them a real fucking show, is what I did. I was teaching them the...
Just got to the bit where I started stripping during the kids' show.
Yeah, it was a kids' show.
I'm terribly sorry. I should have specified. The show was over. There we are. I was...
That was key information.
Yeah. However, that is kind of pivotal.
Now, look,
that.
I'd say
when you tell that story again...
We just lost six Breitbart members who are outside tweeting right now.
Well, look, to be fair, I appreciate the way that you just played me on Twitter rules. I made one mild mistake and was dragged as the world's worst person. It went from, I think a bit of that story's been missed out, to, well, John is obviously a child molester. What is going on there? But yeah, backstage, pulled the thing off. And then, even the phrase pulled the thing off now sounds awful.
I mean, to be honest, if the child catcher in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang was dressed like you, the director would have said to the production designer, it's a bit on the nose.
That is the finest compliment I've received.
Is there any way we can make him take it off?
We're just going to get backstage and rip his nipples off, don't we?
All I need is attention, mate.
I mean, it's a challenging wank. But not impossible.
Yeah, only because I keep fucking punching you if you try. But
that's what I like. That's what I like. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Punch. Can I actually swap seats?
Stop!
Why am I? You know, folks, just quietly. It's very rarely that I'm objectified. It's happening at the minute. I don't like it. Listen to women is the point I'm making.
Welcome. Yeah.
That's twice now that I've really fucked up, isn't it? Shit. Anyway,
I love that. That's what you. That's the limit you think. Like, mate, your life is borne out. It is a series of fuck ups with the occasional okay. Now, please.
You've met him then, have you?
Yeah.
Did you give us your?
You have gout.
I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
You have gout. I didn't think that you would be the Beavis and Butthead of this show.
Beavis and Butthead.
I'm not Beavis and Butthead, but you can't sit here going, you fucked up, mate.
You've got fucking gout.
Yeah, I feel like we finally found a disease you can shame someone for.
Oh, absolutely, and I'm sure my wife would be absolutely delighted if you would please shame me for it. I didn't come home with nipple rings, though.
Just for fun, on the count of three, everyone say, shut up, gout boy.
I'll allow it, yeah.
Yeah, you will. One, two, three.
Shut up, gout boy.
It's fair. Listen to the dominatrix.
Oh, he meant you.
Injuries.
I'm sorry.
Did you give yours? It's been a long time, hasn't it, since we started this?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, so there's some form and structure to this.
Not really.
No.
No.
I've just always trapped bits of myself in things. I have my nipple pierced.
Hey, don't kink shame.
Can we all stop trying to riff off Sarah's bit, for fuck's sake?
It was the 90s, and I knew someone that pierced things, and I went, pierce that, and he went, fine. And I was like, yeah, I don't even know why I've done that. And then it never healed. It was never right.
Yeah, that's not for you.
I was delivering. Yeah, it doesn't go with anything else. So I just had this mad nipple thing. And then I used to deliver beds. And then like all the mattresses stacked up like that. And one day I pulled a mattress off the top stack. And it slid down my body. And it made my arsehole go, ooh. And I just was like, never again will I pierce a thing. The other time I was 6 years old. And I trapped my penis in the zip of my jeans. And I ran through the stands of the thing. We went to banger racing. I went running through the stands to find my mum, shouting, my penis. Because that was the word I'd been taught at school. I was six.
Your penis gets such a battering. You told me that story about when you were queuing up to buy Definitely Maybe and your son bit your knob.
Rick, yeah, he did.
Rich took his infant son to queue up with him for fucking hours to buy an Oasis album. Yeah. And he was like, yay, hi. And he bit your knob, didn't he? Which is a hell of a protest.
Well,
if anyone's planning a protest.
I'm a Blur fan, Dad!
Well, let me tell you, John, you're off the hook now. There's a new pedo in town.
My son's 30. He loves that story now.
I'm glad that went the way it went.
Christmas time, we tell the story.
It's great being the son of a comedian that the least traumatic story that you have is, yeah, I once bit my dad's knob.
Sorry, Keanu. His name's Keanu as well. I mean, I'm so fucking glad that Keanu Tate.
Yeah, because he was born about 9 months after Point Break was released, and Rich is an arsehole. So.
It's true.
It's 100% true.
Yeah, it really is.
So is your embarrassing injury story his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an embarrassing injury inflicted on someone else.
It's either that or Swayze. Oh. As a first name. Imagine that, Swayze Wilson.
I don't want to be too foul here, but why the fuck have you spent this long story essentially telling us that your son doesn't know how to suck cock correctly?
We were in HMV. It wasn't the time. Hey, is anyone in to review this?
Yeah, Vic texted me before the show saying, oh, The Guardian are in tonight. And I was like, I'm playfully hammered. Is that going to be a problem? And she...
And I found poppers.
Yeah. Rich found some poppers backstage. Yeah,
found some poppers backstage. Good times.
At that point, Keyworth and Robertson looked into the distance.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Don't Joe will queue it up. Man's a ninja. What's the worst job you've ever done?
Oh, Jesus.
It's happening.
This one?
Yeah. I'm giving you any points
joking,
for that.
I'm having a nice time. We laughed at the first one and not at that. Oh, do you want the story?
Yeah.
Worst job I've ever done. I was a shot girl once.
Shot girl.
Shot girl.
Like
yeah.
Like walking around like with the bullet belt with all the glasses in it and all that.
But I just had them on a tray.
Right.
It was in Nottingham, but it was this. There was this shop called Cookie Shake, and they'd started doing milkshake vodka shots. Ugh. And we were allowed 5 of them each night. Basically, you just had to flirt with men and try and get them to buy them. And we were allowed 5 of them. And I was like, I'd genuinely rather die.
Flirt with the men or drink the shots?
All of it.
It's been hundreds of years, but in Nottingham, the idea is still steal from the rich and give to the poor.
I love that he was a shot girl in Nottingham, the gun capital of the UK, for quite some time.
Yeah, but I was covering for a friend who couldn't do it, and then me and the girl were doing it. We sold the most shots that they'd had in all summer. Cause turns out I'm a really good flirt. The men absolutely loved me, and then I got taken. Like I wanted me to have a job, and they brought me in for an interview. And they were like, "Did you try any of the shots?" And I was like, "No." And he was like, "Why not?" And I was like, "Cause I don't think you should mix milk and vodka. Cause I'm not a baby." Let me finish.
No.
And he went, well, how do you expect to sell this product if you've never tried it? And I went,
our lie.
And you found comedy.
And he went, we don't lie to our customers. And I thought, this is a bad time to tell you I'm a lesbian. worst job I've ever had. That's the end of that story.
It's quite tame, actually.
I've just seen someone in the audience who's got a t-shirt that says sex dolphin. That's the worst job anyone's ever had. What's that about? Is that a thing?
That's literally
that
my merch, Rich.
Oh, yeah! I saw your tweet. Fuck, of course it is. And there was a fuck-up, wasn't
it? Yeah, folks, what happens is if you order your merchandise 6 months before the Edinburgh Fringe for a different event and it gets shipped to the wrong place, you get about 50 shirts that have no context and say sex dolphin on them, and the bit doesn't work in the show, and at the end you're holding up merch for something no one's seen, and we sold out of them today.
Well done, sex dolphin. Well.
See also King Boris, which is performing at the Pleasance Courtyard. Fucking shows that people are like, that's going to fucking slam it in January when they fill the thing in and go, no, it's not going to be a thing anymore in August.
No.
Sex
dolphin.
Still, that's not our problem. That sounds like a them problem. Right.
Yeah.
Wish job?
I used to work in a banana packing factory, and that is not a euphemism.
But you did also work in that sex dungeon in Vauxhall
with the dolphin.
Is that where it was?
No, it was down in Kent. It wasn't a sex dungeon.
Just a normal dungeon.
It was a normal dungeon, yeah.
I always thought it was
for unsexy torture.
I always thought it was
The moral kind.
I thought it was a sex dungeon where made you wank him off. I didn't realise it wasn't.
No.
You heard the wrong story. I could do this bit of Fringe's material myself. I've heard it so often. But we'll go again.
A man. Ah, new balls! He's like, no!
Yes, mate!
Well done.
Right.
I'll tell you after. Worst job. Oh yeah. So is this we could? No, that's
no,
it.
You can. No, that's it. We don't get to hear about it.
No. I never get to tell you where I packed the banana.
She just threw the paddle on the floor. She was just like, "I'm done with this
my
responsibility."
Job, yeah.
Bullshit.
I'm not sitting near the emergency exit anymore. You're on your own.
What's the worst gig you've ever done?
This one. That's not true.
Yesterday, isn't it?
Oh God! When I said to everybody that the category was what lives in your head rent free and you don't know why or something like that, and I said I know all the words to Wham Rap, and then they went to play it, and then it turns out I didn't fucking know the words to Wham Rap. And they were still looking at such an asshole, and then I went.
This is your redemption story.
And I just said, I went.
Did you not go home and learn it?
I went, this is different.
Find the beat, you people.
The saddest thing about this is I've been to his house and he does have Wham Rap and 12 inch. Fuck last night's audience and panel.
You know
the words. Do know the words to Wembra.
Rich, that was not only remarkable, it was also, and I say this with love, the whitest thing I've ever seen.
It was the mascarpone of singing.
Yeah. New ball!
A malicious person.
Ah! Oh.
15 points for embarrassing yourself
in
the rap and has decided you don't deserve
it. Piece of shit! Racist bastards!
Rich, not even Andrew Ridgely knows the words of Wham Rap.
He doesn't know he was in Wham. Yet.
Also, due to copyright, never going to be
dice,
on the podcast.
Right?
Oh, shit, yeah, it's not, is it? That's an exclusive dice, just for you guys.
It's actually a die.
There's dice.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. I play D&D. That's what's
right.
Incredible.
So we have to throw these, and then whoever gets the most...
Gets
all the points.
Yeah.
All righty.
So
this will be good for the podcast, won't it?
Yeah, make a wrestling series.
Yeah.
Series on three.
Okay, this feels really disrespectful.
I'll go
after three.
Oh, for Christ's sake, you said this would happen.
No, after someone did Wham Rap, and then they're like, actually, roll a die and you can win.
I just sold my soul.
It might be close. You never know.
Three. Everyone's three.
Everyone's three.
Loaded, no fucking loaded way. Yeah.
You ball. What is that? What is
double,
that?
Double points.
Yes.
So who knows?
Keyword.
You've got six.
I don't understand what's going on.
No one does, Sarah. Not even Vix.
No. I'm just going to arbitrarily award you some extra points.
Oh, thank you.
Because of the beautiful lady in green.
I wanted to double points for the nipple story, but I was too late. Oh, yeah. That's all right. Don't worry about
who
it.
Who doesn't want a double point in the nipple story?
Yeah. Okay. I remember.
Well, Sarah, well, because she cut it down to one.
I reckon that cancels it out. So we'll stick with the scores that we've got, shall we?
Yeah.
Did we get round everyone's worst gig? What was your worst gig?
Are we doing worst gig?
Yeah. I don't know where the wham rap came from. I don't control this game. Worst gig.
Worst gig of my life. Very new comedian. I used to have a routine about how people would respond when I said I was gay. A lot of my early stuff was just gay heavy. And I had this bit about somebody saying to me, oh, how do you know you're gay if you've never had a proper good look at a penis?
Oh, God.
And what I'd do is I'd pick on a woman in the audience and I'd go, are you straight? And if they were like, yeah, I'd go, have you ever had a proper good look at a penis?
Imagine that, like you're trying on a pair of shoes.
Yeah. Proper good look at a penis. And I said it to this woman and she went, are you talking to me? And I went, yeah. And she went, not for a long time, I'm blind. Worst moment of my life.
Did people laugh or did they leave you hanging?
People laughed. But it was there's no recovering from that, is there?
Well, clearly not. It's years later and you can still see the Vietnam vet look in your eyes.
You had to get another woman to audiovisual describe a penis. Cock description in Braille for her.
Have you ever a really good look at a penis? A really good look.
I don't think we should cover this now. We haven't got time. Garrett, what's good?
Well, it's not funny, but I performed to the 800 paratroopers who just evacuated Kabul Airport last September when they landed in Colchester and were told that they weren't going to have a week's holiday in Cyprus. That was a peach.
And they're like, and here's Garrett Millerick.
Yeah, that was literally it. They're like, the RAF had lost their luggage. They were like, a lot of them are like 17. It's the first time they've ever been deployed. They've just been dealing with mothers throwing babies over walls all week. And then on Thursday, they saw a lot of their friends blown apart by an improvised explosive device. Anyway, have a good gig.
That is a very bad gig. It's that is the question gig. I asked.
I got a letter. I got a letter from the head of the British Armed Forces congratulating me on my contribution to the safe evacuation of 10,000 personnel from Kabul and my part in the British military exercise in Afghanistan. And I was like, that is very nice. And I called my friend, my best friend, Tim, who has served in Afghanistan 3 times. And I said, did you get a letter? he went, you got a fucking letter? I went, yeah, I fucking did. And I have framed it, and I will put it up in the house very soon. And when my daughter is old enough, she'll go, Dad, what's that? And I go, Daddy doesn't like to talk about what he did during the war. Fewer called, but there's only a very select. Well, me and Tim Fitzhyam, who went to Colchester and got called cunts in a car park.
Well, back when I was 17, I thought I knew what satire was. I was wrong. But I had a microphone. Fuck me, I gave it a go. And it turns out that when an angry 17-year-old is saying really horrific things because they'll presume people think they're joking, people don't think you're joking. They think you're just saying what you think. So the character that I used to perform was a Baptist minister called Father Clancy Auschwitz, and I don't recall exactly what the purpose of that was meant to be. But
satire.
Yeah, I know. Looking back,
you said you didn't know what it meant, Rich.
I know. But I know the day that it was both the worst gig I'd had
and also the most effective it had ever been. Because I was this Baptist minister, I was a little pubescent 17-year-old, long hair, drama student. I'm like, I'm doing Brecht. Look, I'm alienating them. Yeah, they hate you. The fourth wall's broken. Yes, they're breaking it, you know.
Congratulations for not moving on in 20 years, though.
He committed hard.
He did, didn't he?
Garrett, I'm not going to lie. You look like you've gone through a divorce without having gone through a divorce. Okay, let's.
Yeah. Oh, look, I look like a geography teacher who's about to go on a date. Like,
yes.
And I'm comfortable with that, but you look like a guy who didn't get into the dungeon this evening.
Yes, indeed. Good luck finding the map of Tasmania. Now, there we go. What a dad joke. Sorry, that was for you. Now, and the issues you give me. Now, anyway, what happened was I had just savagely misjudged the entire act, the entire time I did it. And the woman who ran the comedy club was like, he's just a boy. Let him have a go. And other comics were like, no. He ruins the evening. The screaming kid, named after the death camp. Oh, we love having him on. Oh, wait, I wonder if he'll do that good bit where the Baptist minister realises he's gay and cries. Yes, the audience is really enjoying that. It's a 17-year-old crying. Also, my accent work wasn't very effective, so people just thought it was me in a white shirt. And what happened was I got up and I had a large wooden crucifix that I would hold, which would make people shut up, both because it's, you know, frightening, but also a weapon. And I was on stage, and what happened was there was a big man wearing a cowboy hat, and everything I said, I became aware he was agreeing with. And I was horrified. He wasn't playing along. He was genuinely going with this. And I realized that he was American. And this was in the really early 2000s, and I was trying to think what I could do, because I didn't have anything, and I couldn't talk to people, and I don't know why I did comedy at all. I was bullied into it by a girl I liked, and then she left. And I'm there, possibly because of this act and this moment. As I looked at him, and I thought, I wrote quite a whimsical poem at uni. I'll do that now. And so Father Clancy, with very poor accent work, turned to an audience that had already wanted to go home the second I had arrived, and went, I'm going to sing you something called the Twin Towers song. And the lyrics of which went, I'm a twin tower, tall and wide. I've got 50,000 people inside. When a plane hits me, I explode and scatter their corpses on the road. The point at which the glass flew through the air was when I went, everybody! And there we are.
And Van wraps the fucking issue.
The tragic thing about that is, in that moment, if you just thought, I could start a podcast, you'd be a fucking millionaire. Right?
Yes, but
Monday
I had
morning.
Instead I had the good grace to just acknowledge I was talentless. So,
well,
what fucking category are we on? I don't know.
We're finished.
Well done, everyone.
All right, you could be a little bit less pleased. Right. Well,
this is the weirdest town meeting these people have ever been to.
Any questions?
Yes.
They'll vote for us.
Okay, we're thinking of putting in another tram. Anyone?
Okay. Right, I'm going to calculate the scores. So while we do that, Sarah, why don't you tell everybody what gig you recommend that's not yours first, because the app has been taken away. So we have to do this by word of mouth. Who do you recommend? What's your show of the festival?
I went to see Lily Phillips the other day. Very, very funny. She's got a show called Smut, and that is exactly what it is. And there's a very funny moment where she does some smut and then she stops and goes, this is probably a good time to remind you that the show is called Smut. And it's just very amusing, very funny, just really high quality stand-up comedy. Thoroughly recommend. Haven't got a joke about it. That's just a recommendation. Stop looking at me like you want a punchline.
It's a good answer. Wrong. It's Fixed Late and Pedestrian 2:40 at Just the Tonic. Garrett?
Is that not what I said?
At this point, I don't know.
Me neither.
My soul left my body around the time John Robinson arrived.
I did not bring this down. This was dying when I got here.
You can actually tell the tech is queuing up the Twin Towers song.
Everybody!
Gary, Who do you recommend?
I'd like to recommend John Robson, Rich Wilson, and Sarah Keyworth. They're all fantastic comics. I know they're absolutely amazing, and I think you should all go and see their shows.
Gay. Yeah.
I just don't want you all to have to do shitty late night shows to try and bunch the numbers up. That's what I'm saying.
Rich, recommendation?
Yes.
If you don't say me, I'll fuck
obviously
you.
Everyone here. Garrett, I saw Garrett's show before we came to Edinburgh, and it was phenomenal. It was
he saw it in the Laurel and Hardy Museum in Ulverston.
Fucking yeah, really? Hey!
And the staff here.
Ulverston.
And he saw it under the conditions. Milo McCabe, who plays the character Troy Hawk. Milo's got so big on TikTok now, sometimes he just goes, I just can't be fucked to do a gig. And he'll call me up and go, do you want to fill in for me for a preview? And I go, yeah. And I go, completely sold out room. And they're like, where's the man in the moustache who tend to think to the B&Q people? And I'm like, yeah, he's too lazy to show up. So you've got the fat guy with gout who's going to tell you some things. And they go, nah. And I'm like, okay, as a preview, that's a fucking hole to dig yourself out of, I can see.
But it worked, and it was great. And all of these people are brilliant. You should all go and see their shows. I also saw Sean Davis today. Sean Davis is in the Gilded Balloon. I think I said like 25, 40 or something like that. It's fucking brilliant. Well worth your time. I really enjoyed that show. Also, big fan. And
Sean
Davis is a brilliant show. It's a brilliant show. Yeah.
You should go and see Elf Lions Raven. You should see it, one, because it is a brilliant show and an incredible theatrical, very, very funny piece of work. She sent me the script the day that she'd written the first draft, and I thought it was one of the funniest things I'd ever read, and was genuinely angered when I discovered it had taken her an afternoon to do it. Also, two nights ago, Elf slipped and fell on stage and now has a quite massive concussion. The show is very funny right now, is the point that I'm making. And she knows it's funny. She's bought the silliest looking helmet to do the spot where she hurt herself, and it's fucking amazing. And literally, I walk into that venue every night, and there is this 6 foot tall person, mostly naked, covered with watermelon, with what looks like an inflatable balloon on their head for safety. And it just makes me realise I'm at the fringe.
Yeah.
And I've got a recommendation. It is Rich Wilson. I've got to show you the poster, because Rich told me a couple of weeks ago, Vix, I really care about the planet and I'm not going to do flyer in. And
I'll get the poster covered in plastic.
So please come to Rich Wilson shows. It's very good.
Absolute dickhead. You need flyers, man. You need flyers. No pricks coming. So, yeah.
He told me 3 days ago, he's like, yeah, I've got a QR code, right? I'm going to put it out online. Just feeling like, you know, it's good for the environment and whatnot. I saw him yesterday and he's like, no one showed up. I'm like, what the fuck? So he's cut down 4,000 trees yesterday and they're being delivered tomorrow.
And treble the price that all of us paid.
Yeah.
The thing is, I put the QR code out online and then I didn't realise that people can't click on it if they're looking at it on their fucking
No, phone. Rich. It's only useful if you put it on a flyer, you fucking donut.
So Mother Nature, I'm sorry, I need bums on seats. Go fuck yourself.
You can have it so much better.
Yeah! If you have flyers.
If you have flyers. Right, Sarah, you are the absolute winner.
How did that happen?
You don't have to know, but you know what? You're doing late in life and we feel sorry for you.
Yeah,
so take the win.
I don't
take it there.
Do this.
Vinegar and nipples.
Yeah,
vinegar
and
nipples.
But honourable mention for Rich, who had a real redemption arc from yesterday. So, tequila's no, poppers yes, I think is the equivalent. This has been the Comedy Arcade. You've been an absolute delight. Enjoy your Monday now. Have a lovely evening. You are now free to go.
Thanks for having me, everybody!
Thanks for listening to The Comedy Arcade. There'll be a new episode next Thursday with new balls and new guests. If you liked it, like us any way you can, and subscribe, and tell all your friends. Also, tell us. We're in all the usual places on all the social media.
And if you didn't like it, I've been Sean Walsh, and this is What's Upset You Now. The USP is, it's only 15 minutes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.